I didn't realize when I made a little Facebook post of don't miss church because this message is going to impact all of us, that it would have moved, you know, a lot of people, and it wasn't a gimmick to get people here. I'm serious. When the Word of God is spoken, then it's life, and it will change your life. This message was put in my spirit about a week or two ago, and I'll probably just, you know, share a little bit and be honest about me. I've had the temptation to have things that I've preached about for years. Anxiety, stress. And I noticed it was kind of coming on me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm a very bold preacher, and I kind of shared a small bit of it at Kansas at the Steer Open National Finals service that we did this last weekend. And I believe it was an impact on some of those, but I knew I was going to get a tad bit deeper this morning. And it just started just because last year's rodeo was the first year that I crossed the Corrieni steers myself, and I put on the Steer Open Ron Ross Memorial, and I put on the rodeo steers, and I did the team roping, etc. And everybody heard that I now cross the steers, and not very many people do. I mean, it's kind of a hard area to kind of get into because, you know, the ranches in Mexico just don't let anybody be a part. And somehow God opened that door for me, and, you know, being a ranching family, it kind of right down my alley. And so there has been a couple of hundred steers at this church or at my house for the last year. And the calls started coming in to supply the livestock at different rodeo, and they're still calling. I mean, Lovington, New Mexico called last week, and they want me to not only do the steer roping steers, but the team roping and the steer wrestling. And I'm like, wow. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. And then they asked me to supply the steers at the national finals, and I knew that was a huge, huge deal. Because, number one, it's on television, and number two, they're giving away almost $600,000 in that one event. It's only once a year, and it's the top 15 in the world. And I can sense myself going through a few emotions. My stomach seemed to be in knots about, is the cattle going to be good? Will the contestants enjoy them? What if they're not? And then, not just that part of it, but what about when they get injured? The steers now are 1,300 each coming across the border. They used to be 400. Last year when I bought them, I bought some at 850, and then I bought some at 950, and I just could see the market going a little higher. I took about 64 big steers to Gale to break them in for the national finals, knowing that then the next weekend I was taking the other half to Uvalde to break in them. They needed to have 3 to 4 runs before they get to the national finals. And I could sense myself getting some knots in my stomach and just a little anxiety, and I was starting to get stressed. And how many of you know when you get like that, then it affects the people that you're around? Now, trust me, I can promise you there's no one in here that has ever seen me sad, mad, or disgusted, but my wife. She didn't really see it because I hid it. pretty good. I did. But I could still feel some things going on in my life, and I had to do like the prodigal son. I had to get a hold of myself. Because I could see where that was being a major thing in my life, and it was so consuming that I wanted everything to go great. Kind of like church, you know, you'll have, I've learned a long time ago, in any church at any size, you're going to have 5 or 10 complainers. They're the gripers. They're not here today, praise God. And they're the ones that are designed to the enemy wants you to have all your attention on those few, so that you're really not paying much attention to the 490 that actually need you, you see. And I was at the national finals, and we were breaking in the steers. Now, you have to understand how the enemy works, and we're going to deal with this today. And I believe it'll be an impact in your life. Because this Word of God, that as we've said over and over, is yes and amen, it'll work for you if you dare to believe it. Remember when the Word says all things are possible to him that, believe. Say it louder, believe. That believes. It's going to take faith. Believing in a God that you cannot see, a Jesus that you cannot physically see. Thank God, we always say that 33 and a half years Jesus walked and talked and healed and saved, etc. But you and I can't see him. Why? Because he's seated after he was raised from the dead at the right hand of the Father. And we're going to have some cowboy faith to believe something that we cannot see. But that's what faith is. Now, I believe the enemy then gets you so busy that there is that temptation to have anxiety, to have stress, to have the cares of the world on you instead of where they're supposed to go, on Jesus. When we did Uvalde, I sent Ricky and Daryl and their family to San Angelo, to the Rope and Fiesta. I have done that service since Glenn turned it over to me for 20 plus years, 25 years. But I knew that I had the steers at Uvalde the same weekend, and they asked me to do the church service. So I thought, makes sense. If I'm in Uvalde, I'll preach the Word of God. They promoted it real big. We had a great crowd. While Ricky and Daryl tended to the service at San Angelo. When I finished the service at Uvalde and I saw the people that were born again, then I knew I needed to get in a vehicle and get home, because I had to get 91 steers or so to Lubbock, Texas for a rodeo on Monday morning. And so I jet in the car and I head home. When I get home, two loads had already gone. Colton had already left, and my son Seth had left with two loads in two trailers. And I knew that I had 22 steers to get, me and Lance and my wife, and head that away. I did it. I got there. When I got there, the judges were there. A few of the contestants were there. They wanted to look at the stock. But when Seth and Colton got there, they wouldn't let them unload. There was a big college rodeo finale going on, and those steers had to stay on the trailer, not just 6-hour drive, but another few hours. And then I was getting there, and when I got there, everything was over, and we were ready to unload. And they unloaded me into an area to where all the steers couldn't drink, couldn't eat. They were all in little pens. They had to stay up all night. Well, as a producer then, there's a rule in PRCA that they need to weigh at least 450. And if they don't, you get fined. And I'm thinking, so I asked the judges, I said, here's some some steers. Do we need to get them on some feed and water? They've been on a trailer for 8-9 hours. Is that going to be an issue? They said, no, I think they look good to me. But yet the next day, I got turned in for 9 steers out of 91 that they felt were a little small. I wanted to say things like, yo mama. But I could feel their stress. I was like, but y'all looked at them. I could have trucked them right back over and got them on some feed and water, get them full again. And, well, not just that. Then the very next day, I had to get on a plane and head to Arizona for the circuit finals. And before I left, Lance Lejo headed with my horse and 10 steers to Arizona. I get on a plane, I get there, rent a car. And all this busyness and stress, man, is I could tell it was overcoming. I'm thinking in my mind, here I'm in Arizona. The contract for the PRCA Professional Rodeo says I have to have 100 steers there on Tuesday, but I'm flying to Arizona on Tuesday. So I have to trust that the truck shows up to the church here where I had hauled the steers from my house to here. I had to trust that those steers were going to get loaded on a big truck and head to Mulvane, Kansas. I started calling, where are y'all at? It's 12 hours, 13 hours. They said, well, because of the weight, we're just having to take a little bit longer and to get to our designation, but thank God it got there. You know. But again, there's that I'm responsible and I'm not there. They had put a circuit finals in Arizona on top of a national finals. And I made the circuit finals. And if you don't go to the circuit finals, you don't get to compete at the national circuit finals that I've made for 8 years in a row. Stress. Anxiety, you see. Mood. And I was, again, hiding it. No one knew it but me. I flew back. They were tying the steers on Wednesday night. I couldn't get there in time. My flight didn't get there. How many of you know flights get delayed? There's another stress point. Am I going to make it? If I'm not there by Thursday, then there's another fine. The steers are not being tended to by the guy that owns them. And again, I'm seeing a lot of things that are starting to be a temptation that's going to make me either, you know, believe this word or not. How am I going to respond? I get to the national finals. They said they tied wonderfully. Thursday morning, I get up. We have to haul the steers from one area in a trailer and head to we have to head to the Coliseum and then go back and get, and you can only haul about 30 at a time, and there's 102 that I took that way. And I just, again, could feel pressure. And I'm a bold preacher. I've learned a long time ago. Let my mom and Jamie last night were talking about some of the stories of, you know, just the pressure of ministry, you know, and wanting to please my spiritual dad, and how there were times that I didn't and he got on to me. He was that way. I told that story where I double booked, and I needed to do a service in Alpine, Texas at a college rodeo, and then fly in a private small plane to the panhandle of Texas to meet Glenn, because he asked me to do the service with him. And as we got down, the clouds were so low and thick, we couldn't land. We landed about an hour back, And the Lord blessed us because when we landed, there was a guy with a van. And I said, "Hey, can I borrow your van?" He didn't know me. He said, "Sure." Of course, I left the plane there. I made it at the very end of the service, though, and I was the music. And Glenn looked at me, as you know. He said, "Corey, come sing a song for these people." So I'd sang one song, and then after it, as they were leaving, he said, "Don't you ever do that again to me. You hear me, boy?" And I said, "Yes, sir. I apologize." Pressure, man. Pressure. They started the national finals on Friday night. Everything went great. But I still felt that pressure. Is it going to be the best finals? The contestants were building me up during their reception time, their back number, getting their back numbers, and all of those prizes that national finals cowboys and cowgirls get. And I just wanted everything to go smooth, but I felt this anxiety and pressure and stress like I'd never felt. And here's what I did. I didn't know anything other to do but go to this word. And I went to, if you have a Bible, the first place that I went is I went to Timothy. 1 Timothy. And I want to minister this message to all of us because I'm now reminded that we just went through an election. And be honest, before it, based on the news, how many of you had a little anxiety of how it was going to turn out? Honestly. And we're like, whoo, the news is saying one thing and what's happening? But now I'd already told like Ricky and anybody that asked me, I said, "Hey, I got a good feeling." I said this months ago, "I got a good feeling it's going to turn out right." And thank God it did. But that anxiety and that a little bit of stress, and I'm like, why would I have that on me? Knowing the Word of God, I preached this Word for years. I mean, any time the enemy attacked, I would boldly preach this Word. And I mean, I would speak to the mountain, command that mountain to be cast into the sea. And I did it with boldness. But yet now, why am I being attacked like I'm being attacked? And I can promise you, if I go through this crowd, in some way at some time, there'll be a lot of testimonies of the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. Especially in the days that we're in. I'm talking churches folding up because of COVID, etc. And still, the enemy's attacking, trying to stop the move of God. I told Lynette and my mom and Jamie, you know, I don't know if Jamie was in there. We might have been in your house, Mom, when I had a man come against me as a minister. And I had to seek counsel. And you'll be amazed what the counsel was. I mean, when the enemy's trying to stop the move of God, you get that enemy removed in Jesus' name. And I mean, I preached the word, but yet, wow, why am my stomach full of knots? I mean, I learned a long time ago that I don't give a care attitude in a lot of ways. And my spiritual dad taught me that. My dad taught me that. Because I was going through a tough time just out of college. Or maybe I might have been starting college. And I was going through a tough time, and my dad looked at me and said, "Son, you know what you need? You need to get a I don't give a care attitude." And then he explained. He said, not that you don't care, but that you don't care to where it moves you to depression, to anxiety, to stress, to hatefulness, to anger, and the list can go on and on and on and on. So I decided to pick up the Word of God while I was at the national finals and before. And I begin to read things like in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 that says, "Therefore, And remember here, the Apostle Paul is talking to a young pastor that is going through a lot. I mean, he's a young pastor in charge of a large church. And when you're in charge of a lot of people with a lot of different personalities, there's a lot of challenges sometimes. And the Apostle Paul's trying to minister to him through a letter. And he's saying things like this. Verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Therefore, I remind you, little Timothy, Corey Ross, or say your name. Your name is whatever. Your name is therefore. I remind you to stir up the gift. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness of mind. What does anxiety and stress and pressure do to you and I? It tries to make our mind start meditating on the problems instead of the solution. He wants us to be the victim instead of the victor. The enemy's wanting you to meditate on all the issues that are going on in your life, the pressures of this world, an election that we didn't know how was going to turn out, really. We just had to go and plant our seed personally. That's why I voted quick. I didn't want to stand in line. I didn't have time for that. Me and Seth, I told some of y'all on Facebook, me and Seth, he's 18 years old and got to vote for the first time. And when he walked in, he goes, "Go Trump!" I said, "Shut your mouth, we'll get kicked out, boy." When he got over there, I was just going to try to help him. And I said, "Hey, see the little dial right there? That's what." And the lady comes up, "You can't do that, no cheating." I said, "It's his first time, man." I said, "Well, then you help him." We've got to understand that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of dunamis power. That word power means is a word that in the Greek is dunamis. And I've preached this so many times at this church, but listen to me. How many of you know that we've got to be doers of the Word of God? And we've got to believe this stuff, preacher or no preacher. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love. And when you have that, then the soundness of mind is a very needed thing in our lives, because the battle is always in the mind. The title of this message is, we need to plug in to the source. A lot of times we'll have anxiety and pressures and things of this world try to come on us. And the way you get them off of you is you plug into the source. I'm reminded of this phone right here. I made this example in Kansas. This phone will die unless you plug it in. You've got to plug it into a source, and you've got to charge the thing. I think a lot of times what causes a lot of believers and non-believers, because again, the devil is no respecter of persons like God's no respecter of persons. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy a believer and a non-believer. You need to understand that. He wants you destroyed no matter who you are, because that's the devil's nature. So we've got to understand that when you plug into the source of something, it's going to cause power to come to this phone, and it's going to keep living. But if you don't plug into the source, this thing's going to die when you need it to live. We've got to plug into the source. And I was feeling all this stuff come on me, and I decided to start plugging in to the source. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the source is Jesus. The source is the Word of God. That is yes and amen. And it seems like we'll go to the banker before we go to God. We'll go to the doctor before we go to God. Well, I want us to plug into the source, the one that is the healer, praise God. When we plug into the source, I'm telling you, that's when you can speak to the mountain and you have the belief and the faith. The first thing, though, you got to do is what we learned in 2 Timothy verse verse 6 that says you got to stir up that gift on the inside of you. And I noticed that I wasn't doing that. I was so busy and consumed in areas that I wasn't stirring up the gift. You know how you stir up the gift? You start reading this word. And when you read this word, oh, Jesus, it starts causing a stir on the inside of you. Your spirit man begins to get excited. You start having faith like, no, devil, you can't get thee behind me, you sorry no-count son of a gun. You start having an attitude of, if God be for me, who can be against me? You start confessing the word, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through God because He loves me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And when you start stirring up that gift, praise God, that faith gift, I'm telling you, that's when the enemy has to get behind you. That's when faith arises. If something's going on in your body, it's not a time to say, well, that's what the doctor said. No, why don't you say what God says, that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Come on. When you start stirring up that gift, I'm telling you, there's no devil in hell that can keep you down. And the enemy always tries to do it through stress, anxiety, pressure of some kind. And man, when you submit to that pressure, that's when he can steal, kill, and destroy. I'm reminded real fast, and I think we need to read it. Let's turn over real fast to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, real fast. Look at verse 24 real fast. And Jesus is talking here because, again, he's trying to set us free today because the pressures and anxiety and stress are going to continue to happen in some way in our lives as a temptation. But we've got to resist it, praise God. Look at the word says in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. Therefore I say to you, Jesus says, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, yet for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than meat and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet, listen to this, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much more or much better than they? Go ahead and say yes. Anyway, my mind went to a different area and I've got to bring it back. All right, check this out. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add, let me read out of the Amplified, I like this better. And who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature or to the span of life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field. Learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil or spin. I tell you, even Solomon, in all his magnificence, excellence, his dignity and grace. By the way, King Solomon, still to this day, was the wealthiest man ever. There's a lot of these billionaires you see on TV. This man of God right here had more. God blessed him in a mighty way. His dignity, his grace, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will He not much more surely clothe you? O ye, and really this is what the Lord was saying to me, your pastor, O ye of little faith. It was like the Lord was saying, what's wrong with you, boy? You've been serving me for a year. I was reminding me of when Jesus had ministered to the multitude, got into a boat to get to the other side, remember? And the hurricanes came. Strong winds, waves taller than the ship. The disciples who was with him through all the miracles of faith, praise God, went to Jesus who was asleep in the bottom of the boat, the belly, and said, Jesus, here you are. Here you are sleeping and we're perishing. Have you not seen this storm? And remember what Jesus said? Oh, ye of little faith. Went out there and said, peace, be still. Calmed the wind, went back to bed. Do you realize that's what you and I should do? Check this out. Where were we? 31. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, saying what we're going to have to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear. For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. In other words, we've got to put our trust on God. That's when the Bible says in 33 that I've quoted over and over and over. But seek first. Aim at, strive after His kingdom, His righteousness in the Amplified, His ways of doing and being right. And then all these things will be taken together or taken together will be given to you besides. So don't worry, verse 34. I like this. Don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Gosh, praise God. You see, what God's saying this morning is, if it happens to a preacher who everybody thinks is closer to God. I mean, I think Brandon said the other day on the telephone, hey, you got a closer connection to God. I said, no, I don't. You've got the same connection if you'll just speak to Him. If you'll just understand that he's ready for you. Ladies and gentlemen, as I close, we've got to plug into the source no matter what. And the source is Jesus. Jesus, His name's above all names. I wrote this stuff down. Jesus, the source, is the healer. If the doctor says you've been diagnosed with some cancer or some sickness and disease, plug into the source because He's the healer. By His stripes, you're healed. You've got to start believing that, praise God. You've got to plug into the giver, the life giver. You've got to plug into the all-powerful, praise God. His name's Jesus. You've got to understand that Jesus, the source, and His mercy is new every morning. You've got to plug into the one that is the forgiver. The one that, praise God, is the Prince of Peace. So I'm telling you today that no matter what stress is in your life, no matter what anxiety or the temptation to have the junk, you cast every care on God. You start saying, you know what? If God be for me again, who can be against me? God's on my side. He's not against me. He's not trying to beat me up with a Bible. He's not trying to get me down to the lowest parts so that I can finally look up. No, no, no. He's already given you the Word of God. He's already conquered hell. He's already conquered the grave. He's already conquered death. He's already conquered every temptation that you and I would ever go through, and He did it with victory. You know why? So that we can have victory. And when we have victory, praise God, you give God all the glory. So today, no matter what you're going through, it's time to cast everything over on the Lord. He's the one that can handle all of it. Not Corey Ross. I'm not the one that you cast your care upon. No, let's cast it on Jesus. I'm just going to be the one, according to Ephesians, that teaches you to do the work of the ministry. It's up to you to lay hands on the sick, because I cannot get to them. It's up to you to encourage someone and say, hey, come on, get out of your miry junk and get on the road of blessings. It's time that you're a winner and not a loser. And when you just say that to people and you say, hey, you can do it, brother. You can do it. Dom, I mean, if God be for you, who can be against? Remember? Come on, you can do it. Get yourself up. You see, that's the work of the ministry. So I declare today in Jesus' name that I don't give a care attitude, so that it doesn't move me to not being an effective preacher in the kingdom of God. But that should be your life. So no matter what you're going through, that's why you come to church, man. Stop doing all this church stuff online. You people that are watching, I mean, you now if you live in Arizona, yeah, keep watching. But if you live around here, get here. Because, man, when you can touch someone and you can feel that anointing, oh, thank you, Lord, then that just builds us all up. So today, we're more than conquerors. We're the head. We can do it. Because the temptation to have anxiety, stress, fear, it's more prevalent today than any other time because of social media. That's why my suggestion is turn the stuff off. Start seeking the Word of God. Start getting in this Word day and night so that it can start being a blessing to you. Because we've got to plug in to the source. And the world is not the source. So I learned a lesson. I told the crowd at Mulvane, this is what my call is, not steers. It's just something that I love to look at those things. I love them eating up all that money called hay. You know what I'm talking about? Ooh, Jesus. But you know, it's another example of, praise God, let the rains come, the grass grow in Jesus' name. So when we leave this place, y'all, let's leave with victory. Amen. Let's leave with a smile on our face knowing that we're going to plug into the source. And the source will never fail us. Amen. Jesus, the name that is above all names, in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give Him praise. Come on, give Him praise. That's how you get victory, is when you praise Him, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love You. And right now, we cast every care on You. And I know it's 12:02, y'all, but I just want to do this. If you're having some type of anxiety, stress of any kind, pressure, I want you to stand up and I'm going to be in agreement with you that stuff is gone in Jesus' name. Whatever it might be. It could be a relationship, it could be health, it could be finances, it could be something. Someone you know. If there's pressure, fits of anxiety or carnal junk, whatever it might be, if you're going through that, just stand up. If you hadn't already, praise God. Now, normally I have people just go lay hands on you. But I just want the people around, I just want you to stretch your hands towards someone standing up. And let's pray for them. Amen? And let's just believe. Father, in Jesus' name, every person that is standing, and by the way, if you're standing, put your hand over your heart. You got to get it from your head to your heart, man. And that you'll start seeing results when that faith comes. Every person that has their hand over their heart, sir, I thank You in Jesus' name. The name that's above all names, that anxiety is gone. That pressure is gone. That stress is gone. That sickness and disease is gone. That any kind of whatever that would hold them back, be gone in Jesus' name. And now we plug into the source. The name of Jesus that is above all names. And Father, I thank you for victory in their life right now. We cast all of our cares and anxieties over on you, sir. You can handle them. You've already dealt with them. You've already died for them. And we're not taking them, not another day in our life. In Jesus' mighty name. Say amen, y'all. Amen. Bow your head and pray this prayer. Everybody in here, pray this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sin. Today, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven. But while I live here, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to stir up my giftings. I'm not going to have anxiety. I will not have stress because I trust you, sir. In Jesus' name we pray. Before I say amen, every head bowed and every eye closed. I had you pray the prayer, not to get saved if you already are saved, but to give your heart to Jesus if you're not. If you're here this morning and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life until right now when you prayed that prayer out loud, I want you to know that angels in heaven are rejoicing. And now you're in the family of God. You're my brother. You're my sister in Christ. I want you to know it's a blessing, an honor for you to be in the family. To have Jesus, not some church, not some denomination, not some preacher, but to have Jesus be the Lord of your life. So here's what I'm going to do just real fast before we're dismissed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, all I want you to do is raise your hand straight up and put it back down. If you're standing, you can sit down. You don't. And we're fixing to stand back up, but if you want to sit down, you can. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, all I want you to do is when I count to three, you prayed that prayer, you meant it, and you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life this morning, and you did it for the first time. When I say three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and say, God, I prayed that prayer, I meant it. You're now my Lord. And then just put your hand down. That's all I want you to do. And I want you to do it with boldness. We're not ashamed that Jesus is now our Lord. If you just prayed it, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Amen. I'm just going to give you a Bible. No one's looking. Thank you so much, brother. It's an honor to have you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. I'm telling you, I can't tell you the talk of this church around our state. How many people get saved? I can't tell you how many times. It's amazing. And then they'll leave. They'll go back to another church, or it doesn't matter. It's just amazing what God does to get so many people born again. But if you live here, it's time to plug in. It's time you show up to church. It's time you be a part that you serve, man. Because see, that's what we're about. We can get so busy, and I did, y'all, I confess. I asked God to forgive me. Get so busy that life can just come right on in, even a preacher. But not us, not anymore. We're going to cast our cares on the Lord. If you gave your heart to Jesus, it's an honor to call you a brother and sister in Christ. Amen. All right.